Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today. And as we get started today, as maybe you're traveling down the highway, you've turned on KBOE 104.9 FM. Just encourage you to be safe as you travel today. Just what a definitely a beautiful day. It looks like this next week, we are headed into some normal Iowa heat. Summer has arrived. And also, too, unbelievably, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and it is the kickoff of the vacation, the camping. I know a lot of my friends at our church that we go to, at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon, they load up their campers and they're headed out for that big weekend. So what a fun time. Summer is here. What a great season. I hope as you travel today, you're just being safe in the midst of your destination. Also, too, those of you who are traveling on your way to church this morning, just encourage you today to travel safe, and also, too, as you get ready to worship and to praise the Lord, as you come together with other believers, what a great opportunity to be part of your faith and grow deeper in your faith. And those of you that are listening this morning, just want to thank you, give you a big shout. I had Miss Diane. She stopped this past a week ago and came by our home. Just what a great lady. If you're listening, Diane, I just so much appreciate you and what you mean to me in my life. And just great people out there in Iowa, neighbors, and that's what it's all about. But today, we're going to continue doing our teaching series. But before we do, I just got a few things I just want to touch upon. We have our motorcycle trip coming up for men. It's June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You don't want to miss out on that. We're headed to Illinois, a great time to get out on the bike and just enjoy the countryside, the beautiful scenery, and just the camaraderie of men. What a great time just to get away, a nice long weekend to enjoy the weather and also to nature itself. Also too, we have, just a reminder, we have devotionals coming out 6 days a week with Vital Life. You don't want to miss out. You can go to Vital Life and also to Vital Men. Both are just great teachings, great devotional time for you if you so desire. So it was just a great time to keep up in the midst of your spiritual journey. But today let's jump in this morning when we've taken a 2 week break on our teaching series, Who is Holy Spirit? And today we're going to continue to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are found in the main passages in the Bible, which are in Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. We've read that extensively. And also, too, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. The gifts identified in Romans 12 are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. The list found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11 includes the words of a word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, and speaking in tongues, and the interpretation in the tongues. And last of the list is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, which includes healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So here's what's important about these spiritual gifts. And God is the one who does the gifting. All are important. Same will receive the gifts upon salvation, while others will receive the gifts sometimes later in the midst of their spiritual journey. And that's all comes accordingly to what we learned from 1 Timothy chapter 4, 14, and also to 2 Timothy chapter 1 through 6, where it refers to a gift that Timothy received at the time of his ordination in prophecy. When God commands a gift to each believer, he will enable that person to receive the gift and to work within that gift. My dad has a spiritual gifts of help. He is always willing to help not only his family, but people in need. My dad's the type of guy that will give his shirt off your back, and it's just who he is. I've had multiple people come up to me and tell me how much dad has helped them in some way or another. And that's my dad's spiritual gift, the gifts of helps. And he has worked within that throughout his whole life. And even today, I experienced that. But today, we're going to dive into one of the more misunderstood and misled gifts that have broken churches, denominations, and even theological friendships. It's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I've heard it said that if you don't have the gift of tongues, that you're not spirit-filled in your faith. What a statement to make when there are so many spiritual gifts. And we have the miraculous gifts, the enabling gifts, the team gifts, which we've touched upon in the beginning of our first three teachings as we've looked at that. And I totally disagree with that because I know some very spirit-filled men and women who do not have the gift of speaking in tongues. And it does not make you less in the midst of your spiritual walk with the Lord. But let's look first at the question before we dive into four kinds of gifts and tongues. Here's the question. Are the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, are they still current today? So let's be sure of whether God performs miracles today or not. It would be foolish and unbiblical to say that God doesn't heal people, speak to people, or perform miraculous signs or wonders. The question is, can the Holy Spirit dispense miraculous spiritual gifts today? That is what's most important to make the Holy Spirit can freely do whatever he wants in the gifts of how he works. But here's what's important. Paul gives us the signs that mark an apostle, and they are close associates in the first century church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12:12, it says this: the marks of an apostle are signs and wonders, and miraculous were done among with great perseverance. Jesus equipped his disciples to do the same thing, the miraculous, in the events that he had to do to prove their authenticity or their marks of truly being an apostle. Remember, these men were once disciples under Jesus, and after Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead 3 days later, stayed on earth for an additional 40 days, and now sits at the right hand of the Father in his ascension, they became apostles because the very things that Jesus did in miraculous powers, he bestowed upon his disciples, which made them apostles. And obviously, apostles, the meaning of that is one who begins churches and does miraculous signs. We see only the signs and wonders being done by Jesus and his disciples and the apostles and their associates. There was no Bible backing that like we have that today. New Testament specifically describes individuals exercising miraculous gifts of the Spirit. The early church had no text or reference other than the disciples themselves. The disciples were the Bible. And again, umbrella of mercy. I am not saying, please hear that Mike is not saying that these miraculous gifts still do not happen today. What I am saying is we don't see them in prevalence as we did in the time of the disciples. Without a doubt, God's miraculous heals people today. I've witnessed it. I still see those miraculous signs and wonders, and sometimes God performs the miraculous to people. I want to give you an example of that this morning. We were getting ready to pour concrete on Monday. And the rain, we had no rain coming in, and then all of a sudden it shows up on my phone. And we had a pretty significant pour. We were pouring a basement floor. And I started praying, Lord, you are the same God that split the skies for rain or a sea of the Red Sea. I pray today in your name, Jesus, that you would split the sky and drive the rain around us, because this is what was going on. We had a concrete pump sitting there and cement coming on the way. And I was without a doubt, I was worried, I was concerned. Did we get a few sprinkles? Yes, we did. But we did not get any hard rain. It couldn't have been a more perfect day to pour concrete. See, the purpose of the gifts was to prove the gospel, but that the apostles were God's messengers. The Bible does not outright say the miraculous gifts have ceased. No, but it does lay a foundation that they may no longer occur in the same extent as they occurred in the New Testament. That is what I am saying. We see a difference. We see a change. Now, without a doubt, has people been risen from the dead by somebody's healings? Without a doubt. You can read especially about a man by a man named Smith of Wigglesworth. That man was anointed in healing, and he raised multiple people from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not his power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have never witnessed anybody physically being raised from the dead. Now, have I seen people spiritually raised from the dead? Absolutely. But I have never seen someone physically. Not to say that it does not happen, because I know I hear a lot of stories and I've read about things oftentimes in third world countries. And I think the reason why, folks, that is more prevalent in there isn't because our faith is less, but it's because there is no Bible there. Again, we're seeing those signs and wonders that the very missionaries, the very evangelists that go over and to do the incredible work in the nations is due to the fact that God does that as he did with the apostles. That is what I do believe. Do we see that so much in America? This is what I do believe. I believe that God works amazing, miraculous things through doctors and people in medicine here in our country. They give them exceptional, miraculous works in their hands where they do things that is beyond them, and they know that, and they'll experience that, and they'll say such things. I think that's, in my personal opinion, again, umbrella of mercy of what I've experienced in my life. But now, let's dive into this morning to the four different kinds of tongues that, and let's establish that there are two that are private this morning, two spiritual tongues that are private, and two are for those to be in public. Now, I think this is the part that's really, really essential. I've walked with a good pastor here in Oskaloosa, and Pastor Tweed, and without a doubt, he is an evangelist. He is an incredible pastor. He loves his people at his church, and also to his church is without a doubt a charismatic church. You go there, and you'll definitely, without a doubt, you will hear Pastor Bill. Generally speaking, he will give a word in tongues and also to interpret it. I, without a doubt, know Pastor Bill has got the gift of tongues and that he walks with God. He's a good friend of mine. I believe it. Now, I do not have that same gifting. It's different for me. God has blessed me in different areas in my life. But let's look at the different tongues this morning and see, and maybe this morning there might be something that the Holy Spirit may give you. So let's look at that. Number one is worship, private worship. It comes from this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 13 through 15, says this, and now I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and this is what it says. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. For I pray in a tongue, and my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in understanding. Now, this is something that's really important. This means to sing in the spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit leads people into giving praise to him through melodies and words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is as if there is an invisible conductor who is leading worship. It's outside. It's different. It's not normal. It's not jumping into a lot of times in churches. You will see people will sing from the hymns, from the books, or you will sing worship songs. Those are all pre-organized. Those are all things that bring us to worship. But what I am saying is this. This is a different kind of worship that a person goes off the grid or a group of believers go off the grid. I'm going to give you examples of that this morning. I've experienced that multiple times when the worship or a worshiper leads randomly through music. It's not scripted. It happens organically. The Spirit is simply in the room. He's orchestrating music in such a way that he gives glory to God in the highest. A worship leader, for example, that I'm going to say today that I've experienced by just watching him, I've not seen him live, but just watching him, is Brandon Lake. He's very gifted in hearing the Holy Spirit and singing praises to God. He just has a way about him that brings moments, and I've seen him sing, and it's unscripted, and he just goes off, and the people in the room that are worshiping alongside of him it's a different type of worship. It's private. It's something that God is revealing. Sometimes this happens even sometimes with people when they're by themselves. They'll be listening to worship songs, or maybe they're just walking and all of a sudden they start singing, and it's a form of worship that is not normal from what is everyday. Another couple that I can remember back in the days when I went to the Nazarene Church was Lenny and Joy Weishart. Great people. They were pastors here in Oskaloosa for about a 5-year stint, but they were very much gifted, very talented, gifted people in music. And I felt multiple times the Holy Spirit move in the room to a place of confession and also to exaltation in worshiping the Lord. There was just, you could feel the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit dropped and was actually covering the room. It was amazing. It was Spirit-filled. It was a time in which we were praising God and singing to the Lord, but in a different way. And it was very interesting. My daughter, she lives in Colorado Springs, and I went to her home church a few weeks ago. They do home churches, but once a month they get together corporately. And again, the last time I was in Colorado Springs, I got to take advantage of that where they came together corporately. And they were singing in the spirit and just different ways of worship. And it was just different. There were people, they were taking their shoes off. There were people kneeling. There were people kind of dancing in the aisle. It was definitely different. Not something that I have seen a lot in my life or in the midst of the generation in which I live. But I could come alongside them, and I, without a doubt, it was worship filled. But for me, it was to the extreme that it was different, that it was a little bit more difficult for me to enter into this space that they were, just due to the fact it was not something that I would call normal or practice, because that's not how we do it. I lead a church up at Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. I love it. Great. We have some great ladies that lead in our church, just do a wonderful job. We have Vicky Van Utrecht and also to Jenny. And they just have a way about them that brings us a way to worship. But it's not in the same manner that I experienced when I was with my daughter. But very much that the Lord was moving. And I think that's interesting, because I believe this younger generation is looking for something that's more, that's deeper, that's trying to go further into the experiencing of the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has. They're not willing to have status quo. I have a one of my therapists, I've been going to Kinetic Edge for the rehabilitation of my niece. And by the way, I give kudos to Carol and her team here in Oskaloosa. She does, and her team is wonderful. And if you need something with therapy, for physical therapy, they have helped me. I have the utmost praise for that whole team. But one of the gals said, she's along with Carol, there was another young gal by the name of Cassie. She was also my therapist and helped me in such a wonderful way. And I just really appreciate a young mother, and the way that she was spiritually. She was really in tune, and how the Holy Spirit would speak and do so many different things. I just really, really appreciated her and her faith and experienced what God was doing in her life. And we were talking about different things, because there's so much in the generations and so many different things that are going on. And one of the things that she brought to my attention, we were talking about different things of generations, is she said her generation is not the American dream of having more. They are not buying into. She said a lot of her generation is headed to the mission field, going out and doing missions. And you know what? I would agree with that statement. And all because they're wanting to go deeper. And that's what I'm trying to share with you this morning, about this deeper thing that goes on in the midst of ministry. Here's number two, intercession. Private or your prayer language in private. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. That is the key of your prayer language. For no one understands it. However, the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets that the church may receive edification. Another great verse that goes along with your prayer language or speaking in tongues while you're in prayer comes from Romans 8:26. It says it this way. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Having a prayer language. Now, here we're finding prayer in tongues and grounded in prayer within itself. It is very powerful effects on building you up in your relationship with God. This is real. This is something that I would say that I have experienced. The act of prayer is done by yourself. It's not for edification that you're more holier than anyone else or in your Christian faith, but it is a place of deep relationship. It's a place of edification between you and God himself with Yahweh. But this is a prayer language, again, that is done privately. It's when you're praying for a specific situation, possibly, or a person, or maybe for something in your own life, and you're out of words to speak, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you pray in an unknown tongue. It's between you and God, and not everyone has this gift, folks, and it's not making you more spirit-filled if you don't. It's something of a gifting that the Holy Spirit gives to you, and it's a relationship between you and God, it's just a different way. And again, that's something that the Holy Spirit gives, and it creates a relationship in just a different way. And sometimes I believe a little bit more intimacy between you and the Lord. I know many faithful men and women today, serving Christians, don't pray, don't speak in tongues in their prayer life at all. Vibrant. I have a good pastor of mine, Pastor Henneke, and he has never spoken in tongues as far as I've last spoken to him. And without a doubt, is a spirit-filled man with all that within that I know about him. But I've had many times people praying over me. I've experienced this in which I did not understand. It was very much spirit movement. I was blessed by what they were praying over me in tongues. And I believe that you can actually pray for your prayer language and that the Holy Spirit can very well give it to you. And if it doesn't, it's okay. You're not less of a person in your faith. It's just not time yet, or maybe it's not a gift that the Holy Spirit is going to give you. And that's okay. That's the important part about these two private prayer languages, these two private tongues that got in worship and also to in here. Now, let's look at the ones that are for public speaking by tongues. And it says this in Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 2, it says that it was done for evangelism, and I think we need to look at that this morning, because I think it's essential for us to see why it was important back in the day and how tongues came to being, and let's start with that in verse 4. It says this, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear that their own languages were being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our native tongue.'" And obviously, it goes through and speaking through. It talks about all the different nations that were there at the time. "But at all we hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other. But others in the crowd were ridiculing and say that they were drunk." But here's what was happening. That was a part of evangelism. That was something that was being done. Also, too, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, it says that this, "Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those..." "Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for the believer, but for the unbeliever. But prophesying is not for the unbeliever, but for the believer." See the distinction? Prophesying, when somebody gives you a word of knowledge or a prophesying something in your life, it's someone that is a believer because they will understand it and they will receive it. You go give a gift or you go do a prophesying over someone who's not a believer, they're going to stand and look at you like, what planet are you from? Right? But now here's an interesting thing. The gift of tongues is done for the unbeliever and not for the believer. I find that distinction quite interesting that Paul was saying. Now, I want to give an example of that. My dad is very much, he went on multiple missions fields trips with my mom and my father. Matter of fact, I believe my dad has been on 39 different mission fields. So that tells you who my father is, just a great man of God and loves Jesus. My dad was sharing with me, he was with a guy in Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico has a lot of, in that nation, there's a lot of earthquakes. And a lot of Central American countries are very similar. But he had to build in such a way that it was done in order to pass code, or what was being done needed to be done in such a way that it would be built in the proper code. And the guy that was there, the inspector, the engineer from the country came and was speaking to Father. And Dad couldn't understand. One was speaking in Spanish, Dad speaking in English, and Dad couldn't understand. But here's something interesting that happened between those two men. The Holy Spirit came upon Dad and showed my dad how to build the footing in such a way that it was the example of what the guy was trying to tell him, but all of a sudden Dad understood by the Spirit. That was public. That was something between this and these two men now connected. Even though they could not speak, the Holy Spirit intervened and helped my father to build the building that's in that was built in Puerto Rico in such a way that it would be built in the right manner. Now that's a public is for because I believe that the man that was engineered did not have was not a believer, and he saw something in my father, and that was evangelistic, even though it had to do with building. It was edifying. It was a really, really cool point. But here's my last one. I'm just running out of time, folks. It's a tongues to edify the church, and let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 14:26-28. And this is what it says. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret that what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and the someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present, who can interpret? They must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. Now, this is what I see. Order. We serve a God of order, not a God of confusion. Now, remember at the time of Babel, when God came over the nations and they were building, they were trying to build a tower to the skies to the gods. And what God did is God came down and made it so they could not understand. So it was nothing more than Babel, and these people dispersed, the building stopped. Now God has changed that when he did in Acts chapter 2. He took the experience from Babel and now made it so it was holy so the nations would now hear. Now, what I believe is this, is that God in the midst of interpretation tongues in the church, it has to edify the church. If some cannot speak of word of interpretation, then it is simply confusion and only edifies that person and not the church. It's best they sit down and be quiet. Now, I think it's important. Is it important? Has a place in the church? Absolutely. But again, it has to have a place. It's not a place. And also, too, a lot of times, you know, people would say it was demonic. It is not demonic by any means. It is without a doubt a gift from the Holy Spirit. Those are not right things to say. Just because you don't know doesn't mean that it is wrong. Folks, I am literally out of time this morning. It has been wonderful speaking. Next week, we're going to talk about what it means to be filled with Holy Spirit. You're not going to want to miss it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Spirit and the gift of tongues. We embrace it. We celebrate it. We know that you gift certain people with those kind of gifts, Lord, and we praise you for it. And maybe somebody this morning is even asking for that gift. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will come upon them. Give that gift to them. Help them to understand that it's edification between them and God. And if it doesn't edify the church itself, then it's something that they should just be quiet. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, what another great time. It always goes so fast. I hope that you've learned something about the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. That is who the Holy Spirit is. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.